It's the Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, just Kevin. You got, Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053, Franklin, Franklin Injury Attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
All right, Kevin, if I start to smell offensive to you today, I apologize.
And why would that be?
I forgot to put deodorant on this morning, and I just realized that. I'd realized it earlier before I left the house, and then I forgot to go back and put deodorant on. Like, I even said it out loud to my wife. I was like, Adrian, and she was like, I'm very busy right now. And I was like, I don't think I put deodorant on after I showered. Mm. And she was like, I could care less. Please do other things right now. And I was like, I got it. She's busy. Lucy doesn't feel good today. Like, so she had to stay home from school.
Yeah.
So anyway, but then I said, it's just Kevin, because you're the only person that might be offended by my smell.
Eh.
I am showered, so I've at least, okay. It's not like I've, been out there, doing a warrior run or something.
So if you think about it, would you not, Alec, much rather him have showered with no deodorant than no shower and yes deodorant?
It depends what kind of soap the man is using, because if it's like hotel grade soap, then it's not doing too much heavy lifting.
Oh, you're right.
But he's at his house. They probably got good.
You got Plano soap.
I use Harry's body wash.
Ooh, Harry's is nice.
Okay, yeah.
I'll see.
Because
you passed the test.
Dude, everything's gotten too expensive.
It has.
Like Native, it's like $22 for a bottle of the body wash. The Harry's is like $6. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what?
Whose fault is that?
I have no clue.
Okay.
Who? Capitalism?
Whom? I wouldn't blame overall capitalism, but all right.
But capitalism is a free market where you can make the price whatever as long as the market purchases.
That's a good point.
So
and we keep purchasing it. So realistically, isn't it our fault?
That's why I stopped. So I went to the cheaper one. I might have to go to Irish Spring, which
Man.
You can get like 94 bars
Don't
for
do
a dollar.
Don't do that.
And the gas companies will wait us out, right? They're like, you're not walking anywhere. What are you talking
yes,
about?
There are
you're going to stop buying gas? Get out of here.
How expensive are phones?
Oh, yeah.
The
price can be whatever they want it to be. What are you going to do? Not get a new phone?
Yeah.
I'll take my chances against that. If I could wager on that or
A Kelsey trade?
Yeah, a trade. Thank you. That's the word I was looking
for. An underdog play.
And I would put all of my money in people not going away from buying whatever phone they want.
There are a lot of things that they know they got us. And they're like, you're just going to pay for it no matter what. Gas has been one of them for the history of man.
Yes.
After cars were invented, obviously.
Sure.
And deodorant.
Before that, not so much.
Deodorant you can do without, Soap, they're like, come on. And these kids, they're influenced, right? Your sons, they're going to be like, oh, man, I have to get this $60 one. What? Like that dude in Landman. He's like, oh, I love $60 soap.
This is a great idea from the 945. Hey, Kevin, be a best friend. Walk down to that empty shop with no cashier and just grab deodorant for Corey. I don't think they have deodorant there.
I think
there.
They do.
Do they?
I think they might.
Well, everything down there is free. It
no,
says
it's
grab
not.
And
Stop.
Go.
They have a camera, and they are looking at Kevin
Man.
Came up with a muffin the other day, because Kevin loves to eat muffins.
That's true.
And he is a muffin-eating fool. And he said, he said, hey, Corey, I got one of those free muffins down at the place. And I was like, I hope you don't get arrested.
It should have been.
I hope you don't relapse. Because Kevin, you went to prison once for.
That is a strong word.
What?
The juvenile detention center, but it's true.
Did it feel like a prison?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
I got put in an isolation cell.
See? And I don't want that for him again. I want you to stay out of jail, Kevin.
I feel like I've been pretty good for a while.
Up until you stole a muffin.
Every day's a battle. I actually paid for that muffin. I thought it was surprisingly cheap. And then I tried it, and I was like, oh, it was too expensive.
Did you say every day is a battle? Do you fight the urge?
No.
When was the last time you were like, I could?
You know what gets
literally
me is I think I could. Like, I'll walk into a place, and I'll be like, oh, I could do this and that.
So,
which, that's not good either.
So, did you see the story, Alec, that they're, like a Brinks truck up in Massachusetts got robbed, and they still have no clue? They have no clue how it happened. They have no suspects.
Like D.B. Cooper.
Nothing. And I think, and every time I see something like that, I think of Kevin saying,
I didn't do it.
I could have robbed a bank.
That is true. And that made my mom very worried. And then I got arrested and it felt like, you know, she was right to be concerned and those concerns paid off for her. By the way, speaking of deodorant, I don't know if you've ever seen the amazing Pixar movie Monsters, Inc., but there's a great moment in there where Mike Wazowski says he has to spray some odorant.
Uh-huh.
And so he is spraying funk on himself.
Yeah, he wants to be funky.
As opposed to getting rid of the funk.
But we'll do the show today. Here's the thing. Usually I put on the exact amount of deodorant to make it through the show, right?
What?
Or maybe it's just the 72 hours, you know? Like when you smell somebody and you're like, oh, man, that's not me because my 72 hours aren't up, you know? Sometimes that's it's like protection for 72 hours.
Do you put deodorant on once every 3 days?
I mean, if it lasts for 72 hours, why would you put on deodorant in 48 hours?
Because there...
It says 72-hour protection on it.
So if it just says it on a box or a package, you are inclined to believe it.
Why would it say it on there? Like, wouldn't the government step in and say, hey, guys, this is lying to you?
Well, what they'll tell you is we ran it under these very specific conditions of somebody, like, sitting still for 72 hours. And they're like, technically it did work. I don't know what these people are out in the streets doing.
Well, that being said, I think I can make it through 4 hours without deodorant. But we're doing extra show today. Because we're hanging around. Alec, are you hanging around with us today?
Yep.
He wants to see this happen, too, today during the G-Bag Nation. 220-ish, I'm hoping. We are going to be drawing names out of a hat until we get to the last person.
Yeah.
And that last person will get to throw out the first pitch at a Rangers game.
August 31st.
Okay, that's a different date than I thought. But that's exciting for whoever gets to do it. Hopefully, one of us. But like this is a big time. This will be a major show moment, a major station moment.
How excited are you that I told you how the drawing works? Whereas if your name was pulled out first and you were eliminated, you would have been like, I did it! And then I've been like, buddy.
Yeah, I should have read the rest of that email. You know,
Are you embarrassed?
I'm a highlight reader when it comes to emails, that's for sure.
You just highlight cultured emails too?
I mean,
first it was Rocky.
Quite honestly, Alec, it's just usually the first couple sentences, and then I'll be like, I'll get back to that email later, and I never go back to it.
If the first movie you see in that grouping is I Play Rocky, as opposed to any of the Rocky movies,
looks awesome, you know?
That will be somewhat confusing.
It looks like a really good movie.
It really does.
Will you be upset if I'm the first name drawn?
Yes.
And I just leave?
I'll be disappointed.
I'll cuss on air and then leave.
Then I'm back in.
Lucius would probably be like, you know what? That's fair. Let's let it ride.
I do not believe that is how that should work.
You would understand.
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to sit around and congratulate some chump?
But I would also be hurt because remember.
It could be you.
Exactly.
All right. If all of us are eliminated in before the last pick.
Yeah, I think we should just leave.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
All of us is a show. All right.
Exactly. All right. Alec, we've been talking about doing this segment for, I don't know, like 2 weeks. Can you give me cut number 3? Because it is time for this question, and then we will wrap back around to Dallas Cowboys news of the day. Which non-quarterbacks are under the most pressure this NFL season?
Blitz coming. Stafford kills the blitz. Gets it to Nacua. Breaks the tackle. Puka Nacua on his feet and in. Touchdown, Rams.
All right, just to peel back the curtain a little bit. I have asked Alec for Puka Nacua or Travis Hunter, just to give you a spoiler alert of what's going to come up in here, bit of audio for like 9 straight days. Now, luckily, we have had enough content that we've just like pushed it back. Because it wasn't like, you got to do it this day or that day or whatever. So, Alec, how pumped are you that we played that audio?
I literally fist pumped as I hit the button to play the highlight.
All right. So, this is off of something that I originally saw on Fox Sports, where they ranked the players under the most pressure. But we've talked about the pressure of quarterbacks, so I wanted to remove them from the list. 4 of their top 6 were quarterbacks. That's great. I get all of that. So what I wanted to get both of y'all's thoughts, and then the texters, 877-881-1053, Who do you think are the non-quarterbacks under the most pressure this season? And is Puka Nacua one of those people?
He is, with an offseason that kind of got swept under the rug, it feels like.
We make jokes
about it because it was kind of weird.
Right.
But he has a pretty significant contract at play. They don't seem to pay their people. They're like, we have used you, and we would like for you to go get paid somewhere else. We will trade for another superstar.
Right.
That's their approach to things. So I think that he is on that list. I think there's another guy on his team, though, that has a significant amount of pressure. Now, he's good enough to live up to it.
Miles Garrett. I'm with you, man. And Miles Garrett was number 9 on this list because you can look at the very similar trajectories of him and Matthew Stafford, right? I mean, I know people have a more elevated opinion of Miles Garrett than they did of Matthew Stafford when he got to the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them were players who could put up unbelievable stats but didn't win in large part because they were part of a garbage franchise. And then they come to a good franchise. This is their first real opportunity to win. Will they take advantage of it? Well, obviously, Matthew Stafford took advantage of it right away. Will Miles Garrett take advantage of it? I think that's a great answer.
Yeah. And Matthew Stafford had all of that in his hands. Garrett has never had the season in his hands. It's always some bum quarterback.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like
there's
always the rest of that offense couldn't do their job. At least Matthew Stafford could go out there. He also knew he had Aaron Donald to help on the other side. Well, you're right. Now Miles Garrett is in a situation where he has a capable quarterback, one of the most capable offenses. Can he carry his part and lead a defense to make that stop? And that'll show if he is truly that one, you know, that chosen one that we've all been discussing. But if he does it with Aaron Donald, does that mean that, like, well,
I probably won't unless Aaron Donald is clearly better than him.
I gotcha.
And then I'd be like, ooh, okay, so now that I get to see two generational players seemingly side by side, I can clearly tell who is the alpha. All right, Alec, do you have somebody in mind when it comes to non-quarterbacks that are under the most pressure this season?
I do like Puka just because of the contract situation, but I think one for me that won't get talked about a lot because I don't know what to expect from their team, Mike Evans.
That's interesting.
I think Mike Evans hasn't gotten enough conversation about how important he could be to that 49ers offense, which they're still hoping George Kittle is available week one. They don't necessarily know. We already know about the substation theory, and it seems like they have 15 million injured players every practice. So if he stays healthy, but if he looks like the Mike Evans of old, the 49ers are going to be no joke yet again, but if he's a shell of himself or he's not available, people are going to be like, dude, what was the point of all the hubbub in Tampa Bay?
Somebody said Marvin Harrison Jr., which I think is a worthy vote. I also think Travis Hunter is in that boat just a little bit. Not necessarily that I'm saying he won't be a good player, but are they going to try the strategy out this year? Because if they don't this year, it would make no sense to use you more on offense and defense as you got older.
Right.
Like, these feel like the years, if you're ever going to get to do it, it's going to be right now.
Yeah,
right?
I do see the understanding, though, of, like, the experience, sometimes getting overwhelmed by something. You know, I don't think he's overwhelmed by it, but the experience does kind of lend itself. Deion was a little better later on because of, you know, he knew things, right? But then even physically, he got, all right, dude, we can't risk that for you. There are definitely two Cowboys.
One of them overshown?
One of them's overshown specifically because he needs to prove he's healthy.
Is the other one George Pickens?
If he wants to get paid. And that's the, here's the thing, though. I don't think it matters to him. I don't think the pressure matters to him. I think he's fine.
I mean, so far, it doesn't bother him.
That dude's like, I catch footballs. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there and catch footballs and make money. I'm not going to, there's no pressure. I don't think he thinks there's any pressure. I think he just looks at it and goes, I'm about to get paid so much. I'm very good at catching the football, and we're about to win some games. I think that's where his mindset is because that's his personality.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Let me ask you about two other wide receivers then, and they kind of work in cooperation. What do you think of the pressure levels on DeVonta Smith and A.J. Brown? because obviously they're split apart now. And for Devontae, it feels like people were like, eh, you were always the second. Let's see what you got. And for A.J. Brown, well, clearly he's going into a potentially winning situation, but people still think he's kind of a head case. Which I'm not saying that's fair.
Smith's very interesting because
he's kind of the forgotten guy in all.
Yeah,
of this.
And he's very good.
Sure,
you know he's very good, and I would say I kind of want to say that he can be like, yeah, my quarterback still sucks. That's the reason, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But I kind of have that feeling, but I think A.J. Brown, the pressure. There's that thing's a boiling pot right now. The whole Patriots organization, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So there's
yes.
a lot going on over there, and that dude, whenever signs show that they're cracking, he's not one to say, "Let me help seal it up." He's one that says, "Let's crack this sucker wide open."
Do you think there's a good amount of pressure at all on Jared Verse? I mean, he didn't ask to get traded, but like, it does kind of feel like Cleveland has pinned their rebuild around him.
Nah.
Okay.
Cleveland, dude.
So everyone's like, eh,
be good,
don't be good. It makes no impact.
They're going to be upset when they lose.
Okay.
That's pretty much what's going to be Cleveland.
Do you think it's going to be this string of games where it was like, oh, Jared Verse with two sacks and a forced fumble as the Cleveland Browns lose 24-6?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, man.
And they'll be like, this has been the same way for the last 28 years.
Yeah, yeah. And then...
Or maybe even more.
Last two for you.
Since Bill Belichick and Nick Saban left.
Yeah, and that was in...
That was the last time they were good, I guess.
And they... I mean, think about it. They had Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, and then within a couple of years, their team was gone.
I didn't see who else was on that staff.
It's
I bet there's another coach.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Trey Hendrickson and or Max Crosby. Obviously, it feels like those two are going to be linked.
I think Hendrickson will be fine. But I do think that Crosby has a lot going on right now. I don't think there's a lot of pressure, but I think there's a lot going on.
Okay. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do our Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day. Just a few hours from the Cowboys-Saints joint practice next on The Fan.
And here's the kick. High, spinning. Holden sees it goes to his right. It's going to die. Oh, he picks it up. He bumbles it. He fumbles it. It's a mess. It's recovered by Seattle at the 5. Treshawn Holden never, ever do that.
KNC Masterpiece.
What a call.
It's good advice right here on 105.3 The Fan. And unfortunately, that right there is one of the reasons why Treshawn Holden is no longer with the Cowboys. It might have been this morning or last night. He put out a message on social media thanking the Cowboys and all the fans and saying that he knows this is not the end for him. So we will see how that goes. That kicks off our Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day, just a few hours from the Saints joint practice. Now, this is going to be another big day, kind of moving back with the focus on the Cowboys starters again, though obviously the twos and threes should get plenty of run in the joint practice as well. But if the preseason game was for the backups, I think today, hopefully you'll see some more from the starters. Yes?
Hopefully, yeah, for sure. It did feel like we kind of, that was like, all right, that's the end of the run for everybody after the LA one.
Right.
But yeah, you should take advantage of a joint practice no matter when you have them. So as many as you can, if you can control the what's going on, let everybody know what's happening, you get after it. Yeah.
Now,
sorry.
You're okay. Shoddy said that he was going to maybe shake some things up rotationally after the first preseason game. And a couple of things to look at. He definitely did. All right, let's go with the second team offensive line first, which I know might sound a little weird, but I think it will give you some insight into perhaps where some of these things are going. So Nick Leverett was the center for the second team. And then on the left side, tackle Drew Shelton, guard Trevor Keegan. On the right side, TJ Bassett, guard, and Nate Thomas at right tackle. So that was kind of what your second team offensive line looks like. You got to think that perhaps either A, those people are in the lead for the backup spots, or B, they're trying to get some more runs there with the twos to get a better feel of what they've got.
Some dudes slid around, right? And like that's the...
A lot.
So I wonder what the conversation from either Shoddy or their position coach is. Hey, we just want to kind of see you at some other spots. Or, hey, we didn't see anything we liked. Y'all better show that you can. This might be your last shot. You know, if you got to figure something out here.
Right.
Or is it, you know, we've been kind of thinking that you might be better at this, so we're going to give you a shot. I have no clue what that conversation is, but that kind of movement. It could also be we need guys that can play multiple positions, and we want to see that you're capable of that. But they didn't look good enough. I mean, that's a very clear thing. So they got to figure something different out.
Now, among the other changes, Joe Milton got the first look at QB2.
Wouldn't you expect that?
Probably.
Like Sam Howell got the start in the preseason game.
So we'll switch it up and line him up to be the starter.
Yeah, so you can be behind a better offensive line, throwing to better receivers, you know, kind of idea.
Yeah. Malik Davis was the first running back to rotate in after Javonte Williams. Now, this one's a little tricky because on the one hand, you would want to be like, oh, does that mean they're giving him more look as the backup running back? But Blue did not participate in the team period because of a shoulder issue. Maffa had a rib issue, and Abonikanda had a rib issue, and so all of them were limited. So on the one hand, good job for Malik Davis, take advantage of those reps, but on the other hand, it wasn't necessarily just because of good feelings from the week before in the preseason game and everything like that. Devin Moore,
I want to stop on Malik Davis real quick. I think this is a time where, and I wish I had a better example, it's a time where they understand what they have in Malik Davis. And they know, like, we can put him as a starter, we can put him as the fifth. It doesn't matter. He's going to give us the same production and effort every time. But we think we have a higher ceiling with Blue. We think we have a higher ceiling of things we can do with Maffa. So we're going to give them the opportunities in the preseason to show us.
Yeah.
But if they don't show us, we have Malik Davis.
Okay.
Where we know no matter what, if we promote him up to two, he's going to be the same dude he was at five. Whereas if you put Jaden Blue down there, you might never get to see that thing. You know, so it's just a being a professional kind of thing, and I think that's what Malik Davis has done well so far.
Now, this feels more like a direct result of the preseason game. Devin Moore took some first-team reps in place of Kalen Carson. We talked about it. It was a really rough first drive, not only for him, but the entire defense. Amir Speed saw some second-team reps. And then in the red zone period, Tyrus Wheat saw some first-team reps. And so I appreciate just getting a look, because that feels like one of the key things that you got to see in training camp. All right. Hey, I know how you look against them. What about now?
I think there's high hopes for Devin Moore.
For sure.
And so he didn't look bad. He hasn't looked bad.
Right.
And injuries have really, that was his problem in college. So as long as he can stay healthy, I think the dude's going to be a good player. So, but you're right. Kalen Carson was not good enough, and so that may have moved the rookie up a little faster than it was expected to.
Or at least get a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Show you can.
All right, do you want more information or potentially a negative thing to keep track of? I think the negative thing is relevant.
Negative, then.
All right.
Oh, no.
So we all feel like last week was a good week for the Cowboys. Even Broadus was talking about it in the crosstalk. We feel like it was a good week for the Cowboys with the successful joint practice against the Rams, successful preseason game. But it
doesn't matter if you don't build on it, in my opinion.
Agree.
So, yeah.
100% I agree on that. But there's another thing you need to look back at in that preseason game. The Cowboys had 13 penalties for 103 penalty yards.
Mm-hmm.
And they struggled yet again on special teams. All right, let's go back to last year. And arguably at times the year before that, etc. We all know the defense was trash, right? Mm-hmm. The Cowboys have said that. The Cowboys defensive players have said that, both new and old. The defense was trash last year. But I don't want people to lose sight of the fact that you had massive penalty and special teams issues as well. So fix the defense, great. That is what the primary focus should be. But I hope we're not, like, giving away any credence to how much our special teams and penalties were issues, because it was just a preseason game, and I know it was backups, but there it is, yet again, right in your face.
Special teams, Kevin, is going to have a huge question mark on for me all season long.
Right.
That's something.
That's why Holden got cut.
Yeah, like this is going to be something for me the entire season, because I have a lot of questions about the coaching there and how the quality of it. We'll see. Hopefully he's good enough, and hopefully he gets the assistance. Bobby brought something up the other day. There was a certain accountability held on Eberflus, and that accountability did not seem to go by way of the special teams. This year, you should be looking at it the same way.
Right.
When it comes to some of the penalties, some defensive line penalties, I don't know how they'll fix them, but did you see what they did yesterday with the corners as they were?
No.
Yeah, so as they were holding, grabbing those things, yesterday the cornerbacks had to play with some mitts on so that they couldn't do some of those things.
Right.
I do remember this was in baseball, we would use wooden gloves sometimes for soft hands. Yeah, instead of, like, you would have to really watch the ball all the way to the wooden glove. It didn't allow you to wrap anything around it, and you had to use your other hand to make sure you secured it and brought it in. This same kind of mindset, same kind of idea. You can't use your fingers to grab onto somebody, then how are you going to use your hands to combat them without interfering? And so this was a planned idea. That, hey, look, now that we have this, now that I have the proof that you guys can't do this right, we have to do this, we have to train ourselves. And now they're going to use those methods. So this is a smart thing. Instead of, somebody just said it a minute ago, I'm glad we have a coaching staff that's proactive. And I'd like them to be proactive instead of reactive also. But I think this was always in the plans of, we want them to be physical, but once that physicality goes too far in the wrong technique, we have problems. And they showed that this weekend.
What is your excitement level for the joint practice today? Because I feel like we were even like previewing and getting hyped up for the joint practice with the Rams. It does not feel like that same level of excitement is in place for the Saints.
We are afraid to get torched by Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck. You understand, like, this is a... And plus, we need to cover Alvin Kamara a lot today, as I told that Tolo yesterday.
Yes. Or do you think it's just a product of, well, we did just have an actual game, so we've had more to talk about, whereas leading up to the joint practice with the Rams, you're like, more training camp. Yay! Somebody else is here.
Well, didn't we kind of get the wind taken out of our sails whenever the Rams said, no, you can't shoot any of this stuff?
Yo, this one's an Oxnard, baby.
So I think we should actually have a little more excitement about this,
okay,
because we're going to see plenty today.
Okay.
I hope. We need to text Nick Harris and ask.
Yes. You know what? Or do you think we should just wait till Mickey comes on and ask him
how many videos you post?
He thinks he's going to take. I'll set the over-under at zero.
I am seeing Kevin. Tommy Yar says that Von Miller will meet the media today at 1:45 Central.
That is correct. They sent us a release. And so I will let you decide if you want to skip G-Bag's crosstalk. That feels like it would be rude to them.
You think they would care?
No, because they'll be at the ballpark.
So you think they'd be like, I can walk around a little more?
Well, plus they got to get amped up and get ready.
Don't let me decide.
We
should probably talk to the boss about it, because he's got a real big hat drawing to do today.
No, but see, I like the idea of going to the boss only after you've opined about potential issues in the show.
He is yelling right now.
Oh, no!
He looks very bad.
Oh, man. Do you think that's what they were really training Alex's replacement?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could see that.
Alex in there laughing. He's like, you can't fire me.
Yeah.
Good luck.
All right. So, yeah, we'll hear from Von Miller today. The joint practice with the Saints will get going at 4 o'clock Central. And so I'm sure you'll get all kinds of insightful reports from the G-Bag Nation as that is going down. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where Pete Crow Armstrong is and should be the NL MVP. Next on The Fan.
High fly ball. That's to right. That's back. That is gone. Ball game. walks it off in the 10th.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for some baseball nuggets. Where I am here to make the declarative statement that Pete Crow Armstrong is and should be the NL MVP. Hear me out. Pete Crow Armstrong yesterday became the first player in Cubs history to hit a leadoff home run and a walk-off home run in the same game. Never happened for the Cubs, ever. He also became the first Cubs player in history with back-to-back 30-30 seasons. He also has a WAR of a full point better than Shohei Ohtani. However,
damn pitch.
That's true, but he plays the best defense in Major League Baseball.
He's tied for RBI.
He has a better WAR.
Hold on. Plays the best defense?
Yeah.
Pitching is defense, bro.
Okay, so it's the same.
No.
Shohei Ohtani has a unique skill in that he also pitches, but he doesn't play the field, really. And Pete Crow Armstrong is the best defensive player in baseball.
You're saying that after yesterday, a day when Shohei also hit two home runs, and his team won like 11 to something.
Yeah, take Shohei off of the Dodgers.
They would stink.
No, they wouldn't. Kyle Tucker would. But the, but the Dodgers would not be an awful team.
The only reason I hate Kyle Tucker as much as I do is because of his stupid face, and he played for the Astros.
I mean, which one is more, though?
Oh, that is a good question.
Okay,
but I don't know if I can answer.
All right, well, great news for you. He's awful this year. His OPS is 150 points below his career average. He's been getting booed. He's on pace for easily the worst WAR of a full season by a lot.
I don't understand the WAR situation here, Kevin. Shohei's OPS is better than Crow Armstrong's. His batting average is better, but he's half a point behind, or 1.1 behind. How? I don't understand that.
Because you also factor in the defense of Pete Crow Armstrong.
I don't think they factor
in the
defensive pitching.
They definitely factor
in. How many strikeouts
in,
does Pete Crow Armstrong have pitching this year?
I would hasten to guess zero.
I will say this, dude. Pete Crow Armstrong has made this a fun race. And to keep this up for the final stretch here would be awesome to see them. Because it would be Shohei running away with it. That's essentially what it would be no matter what. And at least there's somebody that's making it difficult. And you might be right. They might actually be able to vote for him.
Now, they are not convinced of that quite yet. Because the race is dead even. They are both at minus 110.
See, I saw this morning minus 105 and minus 115.
It depends on where you go. That is one that exists, but then another one's got Pete Crow Armstrong at minus 125
gotcha.
And Shohei.
Okay.
So it depends on where you go, but it kind of averages out more or less to minus 110 to minus 110. No other player in the National League is better than 150-1 for NL MVP. And then the AL side, it feels like it's Yordan Alvarez's to lose by a huge margin.
Mm.
But I just wanted to say that I think Pete Crow Armstrong has been playing like the MVP of the National League this year.
That was an absolutely exciting finish to that game last night.
It was.
And it couldn't have been possible without Horner.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Crow did
his thing,
but
I'm
Horner
not disagreeing
was
with
no,
that at
for
all.
Sure on it. No, that's why, again, I know the Rangers didn't play last night. Maybe this has something to do with it. But baseball was awesome last night.
Is it sad that I was looking for the Rangers to be in a trailing score last night? And I was like, that's why I wasn't watching. They're not on.
Okay, Alec, he just asked that. Is it more sad that the Rangers have been down at the very bottom of the scoreboard for me? And I don't know exactly why. Maybe it's because they're West Coast games. But I have been scrolling slowly to get to their scores. Like, I get there and I'm like, oh. You know, like, that's it. Is that sad?
Yeah.
I don't even want to look at the score.
And, like, it makes you not even want to catch up. Like, if you're behind and not able to watch it live, you don't even want to catch up and see the intricacies of how it happened because you're like, it's 7-2.
Somebody made a graphic that said off day 5, Rangers won yesterday, and I was no, we're at
and
that
And that feels
point.
Right. It feels like it also taps into the incompetence of the offense once again at this moment. So that feels right. But you said baseball was awesome.
Was
Another
fun.
Reason baseball was awesome yesterday. Carson Benge, he had 2 outfield assists at home plate in the first inning, including he threw out Jake Cronenworth by a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Like the second one, I get that it was closer. It was kind of more of a, you know, the play at the plate with Machado. But with Cronenworth, oh my goodness gracious, he had to like finish running to the plate to not look like a total idiot, but he was out by many, many feet.
Machado was just like, I can't believe this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was like, are you serious right now?
And I also think he got tagged in the face, so he was kind of like, come on, dude.
Was it Ewing that threw out Bogaerts also at home? There were 3 putouts at home plate by the Mets yesterday. That was spectacular.
And they
love seeing like that kind of stuff, like defensive plays that work out.
And they went on to win to move their record up to 57-69. So there's that.
Nice.
Do you know if the Mets were in the American League, they would be 3.5 games out of the playoffs at 57-69?
Nice. Again,
that's okay.
I need to go back to my thought. I was wondering why the American League is so garbage this year, and even specifically the West. And there was part of me that was like, are they doing this because of the potential lockout? Like, they're just like,
God, I hope
why
not.
Why would we even care? You know, and then that doesn't help you in any way.
I feel like that would make me care more. Because I'd be like, I'm not really going to get to play baseball next year.
The owners do that. They're intentionally built bad teams.
Yeah.
So they can be like, see how garbage this is? We shouldn't play it.
Well, yeah. I don't think so, but that is interesting. Now, speaking of interesting, let's go to the saga of Ketel Marte. Go ahead and give me cut number 4.
Where was he?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Marte with a drive. There it goes. Ketel. He's at it again. He cannot be stopped.
Now, this obviously did not happen yesterday because he did not show up to Fenway yesterday. The Arizona Republic reported that Marte traveled with the team but did not show up to Fenway Park. Now, this is where it gets a little interesting. Steve Gilbert of MLB.com says the team had waited up right up until game time in hope that Marte would arrive because he was going to be the designated hitter, but he did not show up. And then you hear from the Diamondbacks manager, and he was emotional about it and said that he had learned earlier in the day that there was a personal issue for Marte. Now, he did not go into specifics about that, but it also sounds like Marte did not say, so I'm not going to be at the ballpark today. So he got put on the restricted list. This is also not the first time something like this has happened with him. Last year, his house in Arizona got robbed, and he took 3 days off and I believe went back home to the Dominican Republic, at which point people were like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
But your house, what? And so didn't really let the team know. I'm not saying they're going to cut him or anything like that, although who the hell knows. But this is a very strange pattern of behavior.
I would like to now tell you about a dream I had the other night, Kevin.
Okay.
It was 10:30. And I looked at Adrian and I was like, Adrian, why have you let me sleep this long? And she was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. And I was like, our show has started. And I was looking at my phone and y'all had not called me. Nobody had texted and been like, hey, where are you? And I was like, why is this happening right now? And I didn't bring it up. This was like 2 days ago. I didn't bring it up. When do you think you would text somebody and be like, hey, are you going to make it? Yeah, probably 30 minutes into the show
Probably in the break leading up to crosstalk.
Okay, all right. Alec, would that be about the time, or would you be like, nope, let's wait until noon, and then we'll see?
Oh, no, about 9:40, probably.
Because you would suspect that if I hadn't told you, hey, guys, I got a situation here, then you would be like, where are you at some point? So that is a weird thing for Ketel Marte. Also, somebody said the off day disrespected Jaden Daniels by scoring 5 runs.
That is not going to stop being funny to me for a long time. So Enrique Rojas from ESPN said that Marte remains in Boston and is dealing with a personal situation. The Diamondbacks manager said when he talked with Marte about it, there was not a lot of information coming back to him. But you know, who do we really need to hear from when it comes to Arizona sports? John Gambardaro, also known as Gambo, from 98.7 Phoenix.
So happy you found
an
update. Gambo,
yes,
update.
And if you don't know, we have been obsessed with Gambo since the very first time we went to spring training, and everyone was talking about it around there, and I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Gambo.
So this is from Gambo. From what I can, which is a great sentence. From what I can gather, Ketel Marte was seen at the team hotel with a group of people around 11 p.m. Sunday. All right, so before the game. So definitely was seen at the hotel, was with the team. I've covered sports in this market for 30 years. That's why he's the leader. Not sure I've seen anything quite as bizarre as this.
How bizarre.
So questions to be answered for sure. But there is the update from Gambo.
And only one person has those answers.
Right.
The Lord.
That is a very good point. Also, Dansby Swanson and Max Fried went on the injured list. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.